you clock out.
Welcome to this edition of the Torn by Sports Lunch Break. Joining me today is Bo Nagahe, Utes sideline reporter and former player from the 2014. How are you doing today, Bo?
I'm doing very well. Thank you, Grant. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. I mean, it's some pretty nice weather in Salt Lake right now, and looking forward to some good games come this Saturday.
Yeah, we have SC coming up in L.A. going down to the Coliseum. It should be a good game.
Yeah, no, and it looks like, at least from what I'm seeing on Twitter, there's a good amount of people who are heading down to SC, getting down there early for some vacation time, and then soaking up the game on Saturday.
That's what I most love. Well, one of the things that I love most about being in the Pac-12 now is that our fans actually get to travel, or they travel a little bit more because of the destinations, you know, a lot more appealing than what they used to be in the Mountain West. But it's always great to be on the road and look up in the stands and see your team and the fans and the fan colors cheering you on.
Yeah, no, I think that's one of the impressive things about the Pac-12, kind of like what you're saying too, because, you know, me and my wife personally, we have started to plan when we're going to start visiting some of these teams on the, and seeing the youth on the road. So it should be a lot of fun this weekend. But before we get into, USC, you know, it's been a couple of weeks since we talked. The youth have played Cal and now ASU. I'm just kind of wondering what your general feel for this team is.
You know, at this point, we're 6-0. This team does a really good job of finishing. And, you know, Coach Witt will talk about week after week that there's always room for improvement. And I love that mentality because he and his team understands that they are not the best team out there. There are better teams out there. On any given weekend, anybody could DB, especially in a conference like the Pac-12. So watching Utah defeat Cal at home, that was awesome against an outstanding quarterback, Jared Goff. He came in, and I was so excited to get to watch him play because he really is a great quarterback. I know he threw 5 interceptions because you just can't go do that airmail stuff on our D. Just don't do that. Don't, if any other opposing quarterbacks are listening, you can't do that. Don't come into Rice Eccles and try to do that against our defense. But anyway, that was a great game. And then also against ASU, who have had our number since we've been in the Pac-12 and we haven't been able to beat them. So number one, that was great to get over that hump and break that losing streak against them. But number two, become, you know, 6-0 and move forward towards the main goal here for them.
Well, I mean, I think the Utes, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, I think, you know, every year their plan is to contend and try to win a conference title. How more do you think have those goals expanded or those expectations expanded since starting the season 6-0?
You know, well, they set the goals at the beginning of the season before the season starts. And, I know that's always one of the goals. At least when I played, it was always to win out in conference. And, they're staying on track because they're working hard and they're playing well. And they're really, I'll repeat myself again that they continue to improve every week. And we can sit there and be very critical of the team and say, oh, what about the offense or what about the special teams or this and that? But bottom line is that they're winning and they're finding a way to win and they're playing hard. So that's really all that matters. But as far as, you know, setting goals and achieving them, hey, the train is moving. The train is moving. And at this point, there's a heavy load behind it. So if anybody wants to try to get in front of it, it's going to be a task for them to try to derail them.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think the task that all the teams that have that were planning on playing the youth and have been focusing their game plans, the task has been stop Devontae Booker. But then Travis Wilson has come in and probably, you know, in my opinion, is having the best season of his college career with Utah. I mean, who's becoming the more important player for defenses to key in on? Is it stopping Devontae, or is it trying to slow down Travis?
You know, I think it's both, and that's what creates such a tough dynamic as far as defenses preparing for our offense. It's not a one-dimensional offense anymore as it was in the past years. And so having Travis be a senior, he's coming in, he's confident, he's comfortable, understands the playbook. Everybody is vibing at this point in the season, being six games in. I mean, this is where, you know, you're really on the same page with everybody, like quarterback, receivers, running back, the offensive line. You go to the defensive side, the defense is playing so well because they're all on the same page. They're all vibing together. They all understand each other. And that only becomes stronger and stronger as the season goes on. And it's very special. That doesn't happen all the time. It really doesn't. So they've done a great job of doing that. But, you know, Travis Wilson has stepped up, and he steps up when he needs to, and he's a great quarterback. And again, you can always point fingers at somebody and say you can get better here, get better there. And he will be the first to admit that when he needs to improve somewhere, you know, and honestly, week after week, I feel like he's improving. Last week against ASU, the Sun Devils, I think he did a fantastic job of staying in the pocket, keeping his head up, being able to progress through his read, and making the throws that were necessary. And then I don't want to leave out the receivers. You know, it's great to finally see Kenneth Scott. He's making plays, huge plays, and Britton Covey, of course, is very exciting to watch and brings, you know, a spark to that offense as well. So everybody's coming together. And the offensive line, I mean, their pass blocking was outstanding last Saturday against ASU. ASU was bringing the heat most of the time. They were blitzing very often, and Utah's offense did a great job of dealing with that. And so, you know, Travis is only as good. He is only as good as his offensive line. And so is Devontae Booker. And they both understand that, because that's where it all starts. It's right there in the trenches. And I know you've heard that before. And Frank Dolce always speaks of that. It's always start in right at the trenches. And if your offensive line isn't complete and sound, then it's very hard to generate any type of passing offense or running offense.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing that was really, this stood out to me so much in the ASU game, is Devontae Booker's ability to pick up the blitz and pick up that extra block to give Travis Wilson the time to throw was really impressive, and just, to me, added to his resume of reasons why he's going to be playing at the next level. I mean, it just makes me think, our team's going to continue to blitz as much as ASU did this last week?
Man, you said it. I was so excited to see Devontae play so well. You know, the run game wasn't as good as it has been last few games, only because of the Sun Devils' stout defense. But him picking up those blitzes, I mean, you hit it right on the head. He did such a good job. I love to see him evolve, because when he first started, that was one weakness in his game, and that he's put so much work into is becoming a better pass blocker. And he was picking up blitzes left and right the other night, and I was keeping a close eye on him. But as far as teams blitzing more, I think that's really just based on the team, because there's a trade-off to blitzing. When you blitz a lot, typically your defensive backfield, your secondary, they're in a zero coverage or a man coverage, and that can open up some things. So you have to be very careful. And that's what you saw Utah take advantage. They knew coming into this game that Arizona State was going to blitz a lot, and Travis threw the ball very well. And the passing game was a lot more efficient than we've seen in the past as well. So I just kind of think it all depends on the defenses that were, you know, the team and how they play. If a team doesn't blitz, and all of a sudden they're going to play Utah and they decide the blitz is probably not going to work out. You know, they're going to do what they do best. And I think that's the smartest thing to do. I think that's what Utah is doing. They're really, really focusing on what they do best. And those are the calls that are being made at game time. And they're really producing, as expected.
Yeah. I mean, let's talk about USC. And, you know, the first question I have is more on a general team basis. Now, you were part of the 2004 team, and we're looking at this current team, both teams 6-0. I'm just curious, as the season went along in 2004, did the pressure to continue winning, did it become more of a task to try to overcome that pressure? Or how did that just affect your overall preparation week in and week out?
Yeah, as far as our experience goes in 2004, no, it wasn't. There was no task because we were so incredibly focused. We knew that every week brought a new game plan, new responsibilities, and that's what we focused on. And we took it one step at a time. And for whatever reason, we tried to look ahead. We would quickly be reprimanded and brought back to the task at hand. And I think that's one of the key things. And, you know, that 2004 season, we were in the media a lot. We were the BCS busters. We weren't supposed to be in the BCS at all. We made it to the BCS. Who's this Utah team? Who's this Urban Meyer guy? You know, there were so many different things, but being in the bubble, being on the team, being inside of it, I can't tell you that I don't really remember more. I don't really remember a lot about the media or what was going on at the outside. Yeah, it was kind of cool to see Utah on the AP polls and the coaches poll, all that stuff. But other than that, I mean, we were so focused because once you start winning, you start to taste that blood. The blood is in the water, and you win again and you win again, and everyone realizes why we were winning. It's because of the hard work. And this team is very similar. I can see it in these kids. I see it in the coaches that they are so hungry to continue to win, to prove people wrong, just to do what they need to do and not allow these outside things get in the way, you know, whether it's the media or whether it's another team or whatnot. You can only control what you can control. And if you keep that in mind, you move forward. But that 2014 was extremely special. We had, we were very, very close. And it wasn't until we beat Pitt in the Fiesta Bowl that we kind of just relaxed and said, you know what, guys, we did it. We finally did it. And that's what it comes down to.
Okay. I mean, you mentioned the hard work you put in week in and week out. You know, I'm curious. Try to go back into your playing mind as a cornerback and, tell me, how do you try to slow down this daunting pass attack of USC with Kessler at QB and Smith-Schuster at wide receiver? How do you slow these guys down?
That's a good question, and it certainly is going to be a challenge, but it's not impossible. The way you do it is, you practice, and you practice well, and number two, you have a good game plan going into it, which these defensive coaches have done an outstanding job all season long. They're going to continue off of that. Another thing that comes to mind is putting pressure on this type of quarterback. You know, we've faced these Jared Goff, and the Berger Beaches of ASU, who've had a lot of success throughout the season. And now we're going to face Cody Kessler, who's, you know, came into the season being one of the top quarterbacks in the nation, but they have not faced a defense like the University of Utah. They have not faced the type of pressure that we can bring, the intensity. And so you stick to what you know, you stick to what you do well as a defense, And it all plays out. Everybody has a responsibility. When you step on the field, you take care of your responsibility. And what happens is it all works out. And everyone's doing their job. And everyone's got each other's back. And that's why it's so fun to play. I mean, I miss those days. That's the most thing I miss about it, is just the camaraderie, the guys that you play with, and just getting hyped up and stuff like that. But it's so much fun right now to watch Utah defense play, Utah offense play, Devontae Booker running all over people. It's incredible to see this happen.
Yeah, no, I think this team is, it's fun to watch because of, I mean, what you just mentioned. This is an all-around team that, you know, defense is not is definitely not a weakness. It's probably the biggest strength of the team. You got offense, that's not a weakness anymore, as it has been the past few years. Everyone said it's a weakness of the youth. I don't think anyone's saying that this year. And special teams is the strength it has been for the past few years. It makes this team so much more fun to watch and so much harder to play against. If you had to pick one of the three facets of the game that USC just must beat Utah in to win this game, what do you think it is?
No, they're going to have to score points, obviously, on our defense, which is going to be very, very hard. But that's the number one thing. USC, you look at their roster, you read about USC, they have a list of players who have been recognized nationally, who will be receiving national accolades at the end of the season. They have dudes on that team. They have ball players. They have playmakers on that team. And that's what USC is all about. That's why USC has always been so good and will continue to be good. You look at Adoree Jackson, or you look at all these guys. I mean, they have talent all over the place. But if you try to swallow that whole, it's going to be very, very difficult. So like I said, each individual has a responsibility. The defensive line has a responsibility. So is the linebackers, and that feeds back into the DBs and the safeties. If everybody takes care of their deal, they're going to be all right. But for USC to beat Utah, you'd probably have to handcuff two of the defensive linemen. You'd have to blindfold Tevin Carter. You'd have to, I don't know, put rocks in Damo Hatfield's shoes. You know, these guys are playing lights out right now. And so, but to answer your question, that's what they're going to have to beat. They're going to have to beat our defense to win this game, because the defense has shown us week after week that they're never going to let up, no matter what the situation is. And they are prepared to make plays and are not afraid to make plays and have confidence in making plays. And that's when it all really happens.
But it sounds like, you know, USC came out and the odds put them as a 3-point favorite. Sounds like you may or may not agree with Vegas and the odds they put down for this game.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly disagree with the odds, but you're asking the wrong guy. You're asking a guy who was a former player. You're asking a guy who, you know, loves the Utes, has always loved the Utes, and so I have a bias. You know, I'm biased towards that whole thing, but I was reading an article today on ESPN, and it was talking about that, why USC is picked to win, or why are they favored 3 points. And they look into the ESPN analytics and the numbers, and they get very deep with everything. And it all comes down to the margins of victory and how close the games were, and yada, 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 and this and that. And, you know, there's some truth to that. I'm not going to discredit that that article that I read. But at the same time, I look at it like this. Utah's 6-0. Utah's playing lights out. You know, Utah has a defense that is one of the top in the nation. And no matter if it's USC or Oregon or whomever we need to face, they're going to take care of it. And they're not afraid to do that either. They are preparing as we see, they're preparing, they're doing everything that they need to do in the week prior to the game, because that's really what's important. It's the week prior to the game. It's what you do during that week. Once you get on the field, you just let it go and you play, right? and you allow it to, you allow your subconscious to take over and you get things done. But Utah right now, I mean, they're getting it done. And this whole 3-point deal, you know, that's Vegas. That's Vegas. That's why I can't bet. I can't bet, especially on the youth, because I pick the youth to go 12-0 every year. But I don't see any truth to that. I don't think that's going to be the outcome or even close.
Or even close. All right. Well, Bo, thanks for coming on. I think you're right. I think this game is going to be a much larger spread than 3 points, and hopefully we can see the Utes roll to 7-0 and move on in what could be one of the better seasons we've seen in Ute football history. Thanks for coming on with us.
Thank you for having me. Go Utes.
Go Utes.
This has been a Torn Life Sports production.